answer to this question, and I want you to be 100% honest with me. Do you understand, young man?
Yes, sir.
Where were you 45 years ago today?
Damn it. Come on. You were three.
I was three,
I was negative, what, 17?
Yeah, I could tell you where I wasn't in the movie theaters, and then this day 45 years ago, because Caddyshack debuted today in 1980. Have you seen Caddyshack yet or not? You have not seen Caddyshack yet. Okay, that is a must-watch for the weekend, okay? I'm giving you a homework assignment. I know your friends are in town. I don't care.
Make them watch Caddyshack.
Okay? You got to watch Caddyshack, okay? It is one of the all-time greatest funny ha-ha slapstick comedies.
So it would be good maybe with a few beers with the boys.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. I'm not saying it'll fit the vibe.
It'll be fantastic.
Okay, awesome.
Don't be offended by it. I'm sure there's some moments in a movie from 1980 that may, offend people today and whatnot, but, Caddyshack is, I don't think there's much offensive stuff in that movie at all, but it's great. You gotta watch it. So 45 years ago today, Caddyshack came out, and my friends and I, we still quote the movie. And I was three when the movie came out, so that shows you again kind of that transcendent nature of movies and entertainment and stars and some things like that. Like, some movies carry their weight, right? Some movies stand the test of time. Some movies are, awesome, and you can watch them all the time, and it doesn't matter how old you are or anything like that. Some movies do not stand the test of time. Like, I don't know if Caddyshack truly stands the test of time, but it is an all-time classic. It is one of the great movies in the history of mankind. Now, Caddyshack 2, that's a different conversation. That goes in the dumpster, right? Like, we want to throw that out. That's
like almost every sequel ever, right?
Just about every sequel ever. I mean, other than like The Godfather.
Yep.
And people will use the Star Wars, trilogy at the time or whatever is, movies that were good when it came to, part two, but there really aren't many good part twos. Like, even Naked Gun 2.5 wasn't that good compared to the original, and that new release is coming out. Oh, also out today is,
Happy
Gilmore 2.
Happy Gilmore 2
came out 7 hours ago, so you'll have the opportunity to watch that, on Netflix
100%.
As well. Because I think Travis Kelce's in that. He makes a cameo in that. So Happy Gilmore 2 came out today. Funny how Happy Gilmore 2 comes out on the 45th anniversary of Caddyshack. I guess they probably did that on purpose. I would imagine they probably did that on purpose, but who knows?
Sandler usually is pretty, he knows about that sort of stuff. I think that would be pointed.
Yeah, I think it probably is kind of some correlation there, but I think that's really cool. 45 years ago today, Caddyshack came out. Happy Gilmore 2 is coming out today.
Yeah, I think Dusty said he's going to watch that on the flight back home this weekend. So that's his plan.
Yeah, that's
Happy Gilmore 2 on the flight home.
Yeah, watch it. It's a good hour and a half or however long it is captive on an airplane, and you can watch it. So you got your work cut out for you this weekend. Caddyshack and Happy Gilmore 2. I'll see if I can get to Happy Gilmore 2 at some point today as well. So one of the great movies of all time. One of the most quotable movies of all time, and it's so fun. But the best part about it is, like, nobody got along with Chevy Chase, I guess, on the set. Him and Bill Murray don't get along, and like, they did their scenes one day and that was it, and it was out. And I know a lot of people don't like Chevy Chase, right? On the set, people don't seemingly think a lot of him, like, they don't like working with him, hard to work with type of guy, as I think a lot of us have experienced in our lives. And but the thing about Chevy Chase was most of that stuff was just ad-lib, man. Like, that was just off the cuff in most of his movies, and everything that he did, he was just an off the cuff actor. They kind of gave him a little bit of a follow of a plot of what they wanted, and then he just kind of took it from there and did his thing. And so you have to kind of get these things done in one take, because sometimes the one take is all you're going to get, because you can't recreate what you just did,
Yeah, and they don't like each other, so they want to get this over with. Let's do it.
Yeah, and they wanted to get it over as well. So you have a lot to watch this weekend, Mac, and all your friends can enjoy it as well. Andy Reid spoke yesterday about Travis Kelce. Speaking of Caddyshack, not Caddyshack, but Happy Gilmore 2, Travis Kelce, one of the stars of that movie, still playing for the Chiefs. Here's Andy Reid on Travis Kelce.
Yeah, he's felt right now.
Me?
It looks like he's 20. He's doing a good job. He's in great shape. And I'm not sure he didn't come in first on the whole conditioning thing. He was right up front. You can see he's been working out. You saw him yesterday on the long one where he had the burst. And so he's doing a nice job. He's worked hard to get to this spot here. So
there it is. That's all you need to know,
right? Exciting.
He looks like he's 20. He's felt. Andy looked good yesterday as well at training camp. I thought everybody looked good yesterday up there at training camp. And they're showing a lot of Travis Kelce videos as well. I mean, like I told you, I called what we were going to see this training camp, right? The deep ball and Travis Kelce doing all his stuff. And every day we're getting a deep ball and Travis Kelce. There was one yesterday. Nobody's sick of this connection. It's Mahomes to Kelce. Like, you knew right away
of course
what it was going to be. And there's like 10 dudes around him, and they're all trying to stop Travis Kelce. It looked like kindergartners trying to bring down an eighth grader. You know, I'm like, oh, my God. Like, oh, do rules, you know, and he's out there doing his thing. And I marvel at it because he is 35 years old. But I also keep telling you, he is going to have himself one hell of a season, which brings us to Max burning Chiefs question, because we're 42 days away from the first football game of the season that matters, 41 days away from the first football game that allegedly is on the schedule. But we're 42 days away today from the Chiefs. 6 weeks from today, we're kicking this thing off in Brazil. We're doing a pregame show in six Fridays, Mac. Get ready for that.
I'm so excited.
The Mac Let's attack. Go. Let's go.
Come on,
we're
baby.
We're getting ready for pregame.
Who are the two guys, if there are two, and your answer can be, say, hey, there aren't going to be two. There's just going to be one. Who are the two guys for the Chiefs this year, Bob, to get 1,000 yards receiving, that is, 913-586-7965. Two guys to get 1,000 yards on the Chiefs. Who are they? And a acceptable answer is that there's not two, and that's okay,
and
too.
And that's okay as well, because we were kind of debating this yesterday. I'm putting Travis down for 1,000.
Okay.
I'm taking that one this year. Like, I'm all in on Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes right. this year. And I don't know that I'm going to be wrong on that one. I hope I'm not wrong. I
hope you're not wrong either.
I hope I'm not wrong on this one. I hope what we kind of predict is going to happen, you know, with this team. And so I'm going to put Travis down for 1,000. I asked you yesterday if 990 counts, and you're like, no, it has to be 1,000. But if he gets 990, nobody's going to be saying, man, he had a bad season because he didn't reach 1,000 yards. So I'm going to go with Travis Kelce, because I do think he's going to still be the biggest focal point of this offense, because no matter what's going on the field, no matter who's out there, that dude's always open. Okay. And when you have, you know, three or four different wide receivers and backs out of the backfield doing their thing, Travis Kelce's going to have a lot of one-on-one coverage, I think, this year. And they want to go out again with a bang. So I think Travis Kelce's one of those guys that's going to be over 1,000 yards. And then you ask me who the second one is going to be. If Rashee Rice wasn't facing a suspension, I would say he's a lock
Easy.
For 1,000 yards. Even if he misses four games, he could still go out there and put up 1,000 yards. He'd have to do about 80 yards per game, yep. roughly, to get to that mark in 13 games. I'm going to go with Xavier Worthy, because I know he's going to play a lot this year, and I think he's going to be involved in a lot of deep passes this year. I think they're going to set him up for the opportunity to kind of be the new Tyreek Hill in this offense here in Kansas City. So I'm going to go with Xavier Worthy, and I'm going to go with Travis Kelce as the two guys to get 1,000 yards this season.
And I hope you're right
you,
with
Carrington,
Travis.
You, Carrington, where are you going?
Okay. I hope you're right with Travis Kelce. I really do. And I don't think he's washed or anything. I think he's going to still be one of the best tight ends in the league. I just think he doesn't have that yak ability, and I don't think the Chiefs are going to go to him as much. He had 130 targets, almost 100 catches last year. I don't think that's going to be the case because they're going to have more weapons. They're going to be more fortified as their offensive weapons are concerned. I'm going to go Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy.
Okay.
I think Xavier Worthy's – we saw him at the latter half of the last season, man, and I've talked about him progressing as a wide receiver. Everyone talked about the deep ball wasn't there, but he progressed as a wide receiver and became
yeah.
a full player. He has a – he's a route tree, man. He can run intermediate routes. He can run curl routes. He can sit in the zone. He knows what Mahomes wants. He talked about that on the Up and Adams show with Kay Adams about figuring out what Mahomes wants from me. Mm-hmm. It seems like he's taking that to the next level this season. So I think without Rashee Rice for two, maybe a month, maybe 4 weeks there, I think Xavier Worthy gets 1,000 yards. And listen, man, even if it's 4 weeks for Rashee Rice and you miss week 18, that's 12 games, 83.3 yards a game for Rashee Rice to get 1,000 yards in 12 games. I think he's going to do that. I think he's going to get 6 to 10 targets a game.
For 13 games.
Yes, but if I'm counting week 18, no week
oh,
18
not,
as well.
You're so not
I'm,
counting and playing in
I'm
week
saying,
18.
I'm saying the Chiefs
okay.
are still the Chiefs, so I'm going 12 games. I'm going,
oh.
quote-unquote, worst-case scenario,
okay.
if you will, for Rashee Rice as far as games played. 83 yards a game out of 12 games. I think Rashee Rice can do that. I just think he's going to get the volume, and I've said this. I think he's a top 10 receiver in this league, and I think he's one of the better-kept secrets in the NFL, partially because of the injuries and things like that, but people do not realize what the Chiefs have in number four right now. They really
no,
don't.
I don't think they do either. Let me ask you this. What was the last time the Chiefs under Patrick Mahomes had two wide receivers with 1,000 yards receiving?
2022?
Did they? I don't even know if they did.
Was his MVP, I would assume.
I don't, two wide receivers.
No, but yeah, no.
I don't think he's ever had two wide receivers.
I get you.
Over 1,000 yards. So what I'm getting at is if he does it this year and has two wide receivers over 1,000 yards, the conversation's over about what the best wide receiver group is that the Chiefs have had under Patrick Mahomes. I believe it is this one.
I think it is this one, too.
Right?
I agree.
And you can make the case maybe that first year with Sammy in his prime, and you know they had some good wide receivers with Tyreek, obviously. But they've always really been very, like, we got a guy and then a bunch of other dudes.
Yes.
Now, they're solid all the way through. I mean, you got Xavier Worthy, Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown. Right there. Those are three guys. We haven't even gotten into anybody else yet, right? And you're going to have other dudes out there, whether it's Remigio, whether it's Jalen Royals,
Thornton.
Thornton,
yeah.
You know, name a guy here that could go out there and potentially make a play for you in that wide receiver room. And so they've got an opportunity for the first time to have two wide receivers over 1,000 yards. That's going to show you what kind of season. If they got two wide receivers over 1,000 yards and Travis Kelce sniffing around 900,
Watch out. I think.
I know that I'm hard.
2022 wouldn't have even been it just off the top of my head because that was post Tyreek. So that was just Travis had 1,000, probably 1,200 yards that year. And it was just Mahomes kind of dealing it out to everyone else over 4,000 yards or over 5,000 yards passing, I believe, that year in 2022. Some text coming in before we get out of here, Bob. Yep. I don't think they have two, but Travis gets 1,000 or she, Hollywood, and Worthy combined for 2K. I kind of like that take from the 913.
Okay.
913, if Kelce gets 1,000 yards this season but ends up not winning a Super Bowl, do you think he tries to come back?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. 816, Worthy should have 1,500 all-purpose yards. 816, Rice gets to 1,000 with less than a six-game suspension. I love it. And 816, I think it's just Kelce. I think Mahomes is going to spread it out so much with all the others that they won't reach 1,000. There you go.
I kind of like that one, too. I think Travis is still going to be that main guy, and everybody else is going to get their share, right? And you're going to have, like, five guys at 750 or more or something like that, maybe. I don't know. I'm just throwing those numbers out there, right? From a fantasy standpoint, this is not the team unless it's the quarterback that you're going to take, you know, and whatnot. So if you're thinking in fantasy terms and who's going to have the most, I don't know what the answer is to that question because they're going to spread this thing around like it's nobody's business. Hey, join 96.5 The Fan live at Hollywood Casino Friday, August 8th. Cody and Gold plus The Drive will be broadcasting live from the sportsbook inside Hollywood Casino, and we'll be registering fans to win a signed Charles Amenahu football and a pair of tickets to the Chiefs-Colts game. So be sure to follow Hollywood Casino on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Enter their giveaway on August 7th for a chance to win $100 in Penn cash on August 8th every hour from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Coming up here on 96.5 The Fan, more conference realignment. Are you kidding me? We'll tell you who's on the move next.
Hey, it's Vinny Pasquantino, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
You're seeing it today. A lot of the NFL ball washers are backtracking now on the Justin Fields stuff and everything that went down yesterday. As soon as they said carted off yesterday, you and I looked at each other and go, let's talk about carted off here.
Yes.
That's a buzzword in training camp. You're going to see it a lot. Teams do it all the time. They've been doing it for years. Reporters do it all the time because, again, it is a buzzword. It gets you to click. It gets you to react. It gets people to go, oh, my God, what's going on? So-and-so was carted off. And we said yesterday, a lot of guys get carted off here because they don't want to walk up the hill, you know, like, or they don't want to walk, or hey, they're professional athletes. They may have been nicked up a little bit. Why make them walk a half mile to the facility? Stick them on the golf cart. That's why they're out there. And so, as we said yesterday when the Justin Fields news came down, this carted off stuff, I mean, that's a little bit of a buzzword for the NFL. So today, Ian Rappaport says, a good sign for Justin Fields and the Jets. Yesterday's dislocated toe may even allow him to be on the field today in some form or fashion, perhaps doing individual drills. Either way, he'll be back sooner rather than later. And so that is the CYA tweet, because yesterday every insider was like he was carted off the field and I'm trying to make big news out of it, and Mike Greenberg's melting down on the air and every Jet fan's losing their mind, and he's got a sore toe and so he took the cart back to the locker room because he didn't want to walk. It's 100 degrees in New York today. He's a professional athlete making a lot of money. They want to preserve him as much as possible, so they gave him a lift back to the locker room.
Which I'm really glad to hear that he's okay. Obviously, everyone kind of had a freak out there for Kirk Cousins to the Jets. Obviously,
right.
We even discussed that for a hot second. And we're like, okay, let's hold our horses here. I think they're going to be the bad team beater. I think that's what the Jets are. They're a bad team beater. They're going to beat no good teams, but this is a great offensive line. And they that Justin Fields, who's one of the better running quarterbacks in the league, and Breece Hall, who I still believe we've yet to see his potential as a running back, they're going to beat up some bad teams.
Yeah, they may, and that's good. And I hope Justin Fields is able to play. I hope every quarterback in the NFL plays every game. And I know you're probably thinking to yourself, you're an idiot. Why would you want Josh Allen to play? Because the league's better when that happens. It's better for us as the fans and the consumer and those of us who enjoy Red Zone. I don't want to watch Nathan Peterman. No offense to his family. But I mean, like, I don't want to watch that guy play. I don't want to watch Minshew play. No offense to his family. Like, you want to watch the starting quarterback.
Don't want to watch Minshew play.
No, we don't. I mean, I can't name another backup quarterback. You don't want to watch that guy who was drafted by Cleveland in the third round play.
Dylan Gabriel?
Dylan Gabriel,
yeah,
right?
He's my height.
Nobody wants to see that guy on the field, right? We don't want to watch him. It doesn't matter who the backup is. You don't want to watch Carson Wentz run around out there or anything that. The backup quarterback is never a better option than what you have at your starting quarterback.
Kyle Trask, who? My fault.
Yeah. Is he in Denver still?
I don't know where he's at now. Yeah, I don't know. See, that's exactly like.
I mean, that guy, good for him, though. He's made a hell of a living standing around doing nothing, you know? Good for him. That's the way it should be done. Ask Chase Daniel, man. You never really had a play, and you made a great living.
Gosh,
you
made so much money.
Great job by Chase Daniel. Great career. If somebody was to tell
Still
me.
Still with the Bucks. Kyle Trask.
He's with the Bucks. Okay.
Still with the Bucks.
Yeah, you don't want to see him play, or, you know, and maybe you want to see Kirk Cousins play. Speaking of Atlanta, I don't know if you caught it yesterday. Michael Penix Jr.'s first press conference of the summer. Love this guy even more than I already did. Okay. I told you him and Knicks were my two guys going in, right? Michael Penix Jr. gets up to the podium yesterday, unprompted. Okay. First thing he says, you see, we threw to Kyle Pitts today. And I'm like, damn,
awesome.
The guy gets it, man. He gets it already.
He's self-deprecating.
Yeah. And so I thought that was really good. I'm like, I like Penix even more. So him and Bo Nix, I told you last year, those were my two guys coming out of the draft. I like both of them. And we'll see, you know, we'll see what they can do and how they progress. But, you know, it's better watching Michael Penix, it is, in point of the story, than having to watch Kirk Cousins. So nobody wants to see the backup quarterback. So the good news is Justin Fields is okay. Conference realignment has reared its ugly head because we have these conventions going on right now, these media days with these leagues, and everybody's got a mouth on them that they're going to talk about whatever they want to talk about at these media days, and everybody's listening. And now it is conference realignment again, potentially UNC, North Carolina, and Clemson going to the SEC. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, great. Isn't this fantastic? And this used to be a topic that used to get my blood boiling in college sports. And 14 years ago, when the Big 12 was collapsing here in Kansas City, you know, at the Fairmont down in the plaza, and everybody didn't know what was going to happen. It was a big deal. But 14 years later, every summer, it's now white noise. It's become the story of the summer of when are we going to get this conference realignment talk and who's going to be moved down. It wouldn't be summer without this kind of conversation happening. And UNC and Clemson to the SEC, fine. Do whatever you want to do when it comes to these conferences right now. I'm getting to the point, though, where I'm just kind of on overload when it comes to kind of conference realignment and what college sports should do to try to, quote-unquote, fix itself. Because, you know, the president issued an edict yesterday. They've got 30 days to figure out the NIL stuff. Like, everybody's involved with what's going on in college sports because there is no governing body. There's nobody in charge of this kind of stuff. And so instead of just kind of, you know, constantly doing these conference realignments and all of this kind of stuff, we need a hard reset right now when it comes to college football. And I want your opinion. You're a bigger college sports fan than I am. We've made that perfectly clear. I love casually watching college sports. I think that's the fun way for me to do it. Like, if UNC is going to be great this year, I'm probably going to find every opportunity I can to watch North Carolina. I'm going to find every opportunity I can to watch Colorado and Ohio State. And, you know, there are certain teams out there that I'm going to find opportunities to watch because they bring in something to me, right? They're giving me something. And I think right now for college sports, here's what I think they should do. Because the conference realignment is going on, and the NCAA has said we're probably not going to expand the tournament this year, but future years we may expand the tournament. So here's what we need to do. Pick the 64 best college football programs based on winning percentage since the year 2000. This century, the 64 best college football programs based on winning percentage. Nothing else based on winning percentage. Okay. Then take the next 16. So you got a total of 80 teams. The lower 16 teams are kind of in that subdivision. We'll call it Division 2, if you will, for argument's sake, right? So you got 80 total teams. the bottom six in the 64 fall out every year, and the top six in the 16 get promoted every year, just like you would do in EPL when you have relegation. And that way, you keep it fresh. You keep teams fighting for stuff all the time. You keep teams battling all the time. You keep teams interested and fan bases interested all the time. Even if you're a bottom dweller in that bottom 64, you're like, okay, we got to get out of this bottom six. We got to get out of this bottom six. So there's always something to play for even those bottom feeders right now. And look, if you aren't good enough to be in the top 80, then you're just not good enough as a football program, and find something else to do with your time. I mean, I hate to be that way, but like, we've got to get this thing under wraps and find a way to do it in the best possible way. And that's my kind of thought for the best possible way to do it. I think 80 teams gives you enough to include a lot of teams into that conversation.
For sure.
But it also gives you the opportunity to have that relegation, and teams still need to play good. And if you don't play good enough, you get lopped off and you get put into a bottom division. Like, I think the NCAA, or whatever we're calling it now, college football, has an opportunity to do something like that for the first time in America, to bring relegation to the United States. And for those who haven't been paying attention to European soccer, which is fine, none of us really have, we all kind of know the relegation system.
Yep.
We can see it in full light here in the United States and go, hey, this may work for something like baseball in the future too.
And I think it would bring back what I and so many others love about college sports, which is the rivalries, the tradition, the continuity. They don't have any of that right now. It's teams leaving conferences. The Pac-12s, the Pac-2, the Big 12 has 20 teams, in the SEC has 22. The Big 10 has 18 teams. It's just, I don't even know who's in what conference anymore. BYU's now in the Big 12. Like,
yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense. You've got teams in the West playing teams up in the Northeast. This all used to kind of be some sort of cultural battle, right? Because Michigan and Michigan State, they ate the same food, they grew up in the same spots, they knew the same restaurants, and now they're going to go battle each other. And that was what was really cool about college versus the pros. They've lost the majority
of
that.
You're to the point of your age now where you really don't even remember Kansas-Missouri being a true rival. You're shaking your head. Am I right?
I definitely remember it, but it wasn't like what it was. I mean, I remember I grew up a huge A&M fan. I remember that being really sad when they left the Big 12. Obviously, a great move long-term for them to go to the SEC.
Sure, but the end of the Texas game.
End of the Texas-Texas A&M game. My dad went to the University of Texas. That was the end of it for us. We watched that game every year together, and we're just like, F you kind of thing. It was super fun. Father-son sort of tradition, but the college, the relegation system would bring that back. I'm in full support of this. The only qualm that I'd have, the one change that I'd make here would be I would like it so there could be a chance for some other bottom schools to get into maybe that subdivision of the 16.
Yeah.
Maybe it could be once every 3 years we do a reevaluation of something.
Fine. I don't care. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Maybe
there's that 85th team who has done a rebuild and now 3 years.
SMU.
Yes. Like SMU. Yeah. Exactly. Great point. Or whoever it could be. It could be Coastal Carolina or something has just gotten an NIL wave and they're sitting here. We've got guys. We're better than these teams. So other than that, dude, I am so in on this. Please sign me up right now.
I think a lot of people, I'm looking at the text line right now, and there's not one person saying I'm an idiot. So,
damn, Bob, did we just become best friends from the 816? I love it.
But I think fans are ready for that now, right? I think fans are just to the point of we're tired of conference realignment. We're tired of all of this bureaucracy that's going on in college sports. And I think if they fix it the right way, give fans what they want, which is what baseball has done, guys, everybody will come back and be part of this thing. And I think 80 is a good number. And you know what? Survival of the fittest, man. Like, not everybody deserves a trophy. Not everybody deserves 100% an award or an opportunity. You have to create those opportunities for yourself. I was talking to my daughter about that, you know, last night, and luck and stuff like that. I said, you create those opportunities for yourself by putting yourself in good positions and doing the right things and working hard. Like, you create your own opportunities. And if you're one of these bottom feeder football teams in the Big 12, Pac-12, whatever league you're in, and you're not included in this, that's on you. That's on nobody else but you. You should have done better at that sport. And so I think right now 80 is the perfect number. Relegation would be a lot of fun, and fans would enjoy the hell out of it.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Kenny Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
I'm going to jump in real quick before you get to One Word, Mac, because I love this text from the 913. I'm 30 years old. Do you think this will happen before I die? No. I think we'll all be dead before we see anything like this happen in college sports. But it's good to talk about it, give them ideas. Are you talking? Because your mic's not on.
Gosh, I hate when I do that. All right, let's get to...
It's hard. I know with that earphone going, you know, the way it
I know,
is.
It really is. It feels like I'm talking because I can't really hear myself. And plus, I'm all congested. It's weird. Okay.
Did you take your DayQuil and NyQuil like I told you yesterday?
I did. And I passed out, buddy. Let me tell you. Because
I was not going to be your dad and say every 4 hours, send you a text, take your NyQuil.
Take your DayQuil.
Or your DayQuil, yeah.
No, I did it. Took it this morning as well. Feeling better.
Good.
Sticking in college sports, over on the basketball side, some sad news yesterday. One word, Bill Self had some heart surgery, had a little bit of a complication, two different stints there yesterday. He is in the hospital. One word there for
scary,
Bill Self.
Yeah, scary, very. You know, and I love Bill with all my heart, and he's been one of the great, great coaches in the history of sports, and I want to see him coach forever. But if I'm looking at the landscape of college sports right now, I'm saying, hey, Bill, just turn this thing over to Jacques and call it a day, man. Peace out, brother. Like, stop putting the stress on your body, my man. I know you want to get one more championship before you peace out of Lawrence and whatnot. But we kind of see Jacques Vaughn in there for a reason, right? Be a great transition to Jacques Vaughn when Bill Self is ready to do it. But I saw that yesterday. That's the first thing I thought of is like, I'm in my 60s. I've accomplished a lot. I'm Bill F and Self, man. I can peace out. And I can sit front row in Lawrence all the time and do whatever I want. I own the keys to the state, the city, whatever it is. I mean, he's one of the most important people in our area. Get better, my friend. Get better fast.
The procedure went very well over at Lawrence Memorial Hospital. He did have two stents inserted. He's expected to make a full recovery and released soon, and that was yesterday, so he may already be
Who knows, right? There, yeah, so. No, they kick you out of the hospital fast these days.
They want to flip him. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they want to flip the beds just like a hotel.
Yes, exactly.
Not making any money with you lying here.
We listened to Andy Reid talk about Travis Kelce, describing him as, quote, svelte. He also got to talk about Chiefs legend and now retiree Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, on just some personality.
Anyway, I could go on and on about him. The Honey Badger. That'll be part of the legacy also. He would sit on the bench there and he'd make all kinds of funny noises. You know, not only did he have the blonde hair, but he'd be over there making all those noises. But what a great kid. Loved it. Loved coaching.
What's that noise?
You'd be over there.
I love it. He's a dog.
Funny. That's the word I'll use for Andy Reid. I love when he does that kind of stuff. It kind of lets us behind the curtain a little bit as to some of the things that went on. He goes, yeah, I don't know. That guy sat over there and made noises.
Yes.
You'd be over there.
That's fantastic, man. Well, it's also just he's letting guys be themselves. He's not going over there. What are you doing? Stop doing that. Or he's just like, yeah, okay, that's Tyrann Mathieu. Yeah. That's what he does. He makes dog noises. He's the Honey Badger.
That's fine. You do you, man. Yeah,
exactly.
Whatever works, man. Just go out there and make the next play, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Make a tackle. Royals, big series coming up. A game and a half back of the Guardians. I believe there's four teams standing in their way as far as the wild card standings. The Guardians, that initial team ahead of them, again, 1.5 games back from their division rival. One word on the Royals series against Cleveland this weekend at home.
Playoff. It's a playoff-type series out there. It's not just a win 2 out of 3 type of series. You got to go sweep this series from the Cleveland Guardians. This is an opportunity to make up ground. These are the series that you have to take advantage of. These are the series that you look back on and say, damn, we didn't take advantage in August or at the end of July when we had the Guardians. They were right there in front of us by a game and a half. We had an opportunity to overtake them this weekend, and we didn't do it. You don't want to be looking back on that. So this is a playoff series for the Royals.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll say Flo Rida.
Okay.
Saturday
I like
night.
That.
Let's
yeah.
go. One word, the Morris twins. We're just talking about Bill Self. How about some former players of his? Markieff and Marcus were on the podcast with Shaq and Adam Lefkoe talking about a fight between them and Nikola Jokic's brothers, who are mountains of men.
I'll just say that I'm terrified of Jokic's brother.
Wow.
That one dude looks so enormous.
He's
with like the mohawk and shit.
The bigger they are, the harder they fall. Hey, we big, too.
Yeah. That's true.
We ain't. I'm not. I'm 6'10", 270. It ain't like I'm a small guy. I'm bigger than them.
We can arrange this.
Yeah, no, for sure. And,
really?
And please. Let's please.
One of them is a what? Is a MMA fighter?
Oh, so he'd have to, like, he'd be wanting
grabbing all that. Yeah, we ain't
if he can't
that.
Do that, we can get it on.
So only boxing?
Only boxing, yeah.
This could be done. We are in Vegas. Shaq?
I'm going with the Philly boys.
No, I wasn't asking who you are. I'm just saying you should, you own everything. I feel like you could set this up.
I'm not setting that up.
I'm not setting that up, Shaq says.
Shaq is trying to preserve people's lives in this one.
I think so.
The Jokic brothers are going down, brother.
Oh, okay.
You know, steal Hulk Hogan's line today. You're going down,
going
brother.
Going down, brother.
Look, the Morais are scrappers, man. They will fight you anytime, any place, anywhere.
They're Philly guys.
And, yeah, they are Philly guys. There's no doubt. And Angel will be there with her Bluetooth in as well. So I'm taking the Morais in this one, man. I think they go out there and they just wail away. And they're in better shape than Jokic's brother. I know he's a big dude.
Those
he's a mountain of
huge.
A man. But they're in better shape than both of the Jokic's, aren't they?
Probably.
Don't the Jokic's smoke cigarettes, you know, like darts? They're burning darts
sure.
on the sidelines, right?
They can't lift as much as the Jokic brothers could, the Jokic's brothers.
But if it's boxing, you know, it's quick on your feet, you know.
That's fair.
What did Muhammad Ali say? Fly like a butterfly and sting like a bee,
that's
right?
That's exactly right. Yeah, he said, I'm 6'10", 270. I was like, okay, more like 6'7", 240. But either way, that's fine. Those guys probably are 6'10", 300 pounds. But that would be fun. I hope Jokic just set it up. And this just in before we get out of here. Adam Schefter says, one day after dislocating his toe, Jets quarterback Justin Fields back at practice. One word for Justin Fields.
Good. Again, I want every starting quarterback to be there in the NFL for all 17 games all season long. The league is just better with that. And I want to see Justin Fields in New York all season long. I think that's going to be one of those where you kind of keep an eye on, you know, all season long what's going on there. Because it's either going to be sink or swim. Either Jet fans are going to be melting down or they're going to be celebrating. Either way, they're going to make asses of themselves.
Of course, always.
And so we get that opportunity. So to see Justin Fields back on the practice field, good. Also, again, with these NFL insiders tweeting about, you know, so-and-so took a cart off the field. Again, it's such an overblown term, carted off. But they use it because it's a buzzword, and people click on that, and they get all riled up.
Got us going for a second.
Got everybody going yesterday. Everybody thought the Achilles was blown, the knee was done, the leg was over, they're going to amputate this, and you know they had to go get Kirk Cousins. I mean, all of that happened in like that amount of time.
Yep.
Because he was carted off with an apparent leg injury.
He walked off on his own power to a golf cart and sat shotgun.
Right.
And that's what happened.
And that's what happened. But they use the term carted off because that's what these NFL ball washers do. So be careful with that term during training camp. Coming up here on 96.5 The Fan, we'll get you our out of field left question. We do that next.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Minutes or so, Little League Baseball trying to steal the fun yet again, and it's a microcosm of what baseball has tried to reverse, but for whatever reason, Little League Baseball is still fighting the bad fight, I will say, and we'll tell you what that is. Coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on 96.5 The Fan, it is Fesco and Dusty with you. I am Bob Fesco, that is Mac Morey. Dusty is off for the rest of the week. He will be back on Monday, and we will all be back together as football season is just beginning here in Kansas City, and so we got the start of that coming up that everybody I know is looking forward to. Ooh. We got a playoff type atmosphere at Kauffman Stadium this weekend. Going to be very difficult for fans if you're not going to the game to watch them because they're on three different networks and three different nights.
Yay.
Apple TV Plus today, Big Fox tomorrow, and then your locals on FanDuel on Sunday. But of course, every game right here in Crystal Clear FM on 96.5 The Fan, and of course on the Odyssey app if you're inside the Kansas City area, you'll have the opportunity to listen all day long to us and then right into the Royals a little bit later on as they begin that push towards the postseason. Three games under 500, a huge series against the Guardians. They got to go out there and sweep this series, in my opinion. We'll also talk more about where Seth Lugo could end up and what the situation is surrounding him, because there's a lot of interested parties right now in Seth Lugo. Before we get to our out-of-field question, I do want to address this one on the text line, and I want you to address this as well from the 563. Mm. It seems everyone is rooting for Justin Fields to succeed. Kind of feels that way this year, doesn't it? Like it feels like everybody wants this guy to go out there and play well. I'm not rooting one way or the other for Justin Fields. It's an AFC team and the Jets, and so I don't really care, you know, particularly what happens. But I am very curious to see what Justin Fields can do in a different type of situation now. Now, look, he's had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. This is going to be the last one. And it's tough because not only are you in New York, you're under the microscope because you're the Jets, and everybody thinks you're going to be bad, and everybody has a bad attitude going in because that's a Jet fan for you. But it does feel like I'm from the outside world, though. There's a lot of people that want Justin Fields to have this success in the NFL.
I think he's by all accounts just a really good guy. He seems really cool and kind of got like the short end of the stick last year. Like he started off the season, I think people forget, started off the season really, really well last year. And then Mike Tomlin, the rest of the Steelers organization wanted to stick with him. And Mike Tomlin said, man, I really want to go with Russell Wilson. And that's what they did. And we saw that worked. That was fine until the last 4 weeks of the season when they played real teams and they went 0-4. So I think Justin Fields, you know, with a good O-line and a good running game, like I don't think he's going to be a great quarterback or a franchise guy, but he's serviceable. I think 913 Justin Fields with weapons, a serviceable quarterback. I think he's fun to watch. I think he's electric. And by all accounts, a good guy. My motivation for Justin Fields is pretty much solely fantasy football related. I think he's just a dynamite draft pick, and we'll get to that. August 10th, by the way, everyone. Fantasy Football Sundays do start with me from 9 to 10 live right here on 96.5 The Fan. August 10th will be our first show.
Will you be on YouTube for that as well, streaming live and everything? Streaming. So we'll have it all streaming good. So you can subscribe to our YouTube channel right now. Again, this week, Mac and I are each getting $5 a piece from Spectre for every YouTube subscription that comes in this week. So we need you to subscribe to our YouTube channel so it's always at the top and you can watch us right away. And then, you know, I'm sure my mother will tune in. She thinks you're cute. Let's get to our out of left field question today.
Out of left field question, sponsored by nobody yet, but somebody could step up here on a Friday. 913-586-7965. Please be a part of the conversation. What is something you're terrible at but wish you could do well? We've only got 5 minutes, Bob. 913-586-7965. Something you're terrible at but saying, damn it, I wish I could do that better.
Sports talk radio.
Oh, shut up. Come on.
I'm singing.
Oh, okay. Singing. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. I'm terrible at it. I write good songs.
You do.
You can play Preston Road for the people, and they'd like to hear that a little bit later on.
We'll get it.
But no, singing. I wish I was more musically inclined. You know, I always talk about my old piano teacher, Mrs. Sauter, and how she was a great teacher for me. I realized that like yesterday because she used to try to keep me engaged with the piano with songs and stuff that she knew I would be interested in, right? Like take me out to the ball game and the Cheers theme and stuff that. And, you know, try to keep me interested because she knew I had no interest in doing that. And as a kid, you're never interested in what you should be interested in, right? Piano, I wish I would have stuck with it. And
same.
And, you know, I have a piano at the house now. I sit down and I play a little bit and whatnot. And I'm kind of, I may try to teach myself again through the YouTubes and
that'd be cool. Little Joe Burrow action.
Yeah, I kind of got the idea from him. I'm watching. I'm like, I could probably sit down and, you know, do something
30
like
minutes
that.
Even.
Just kind of clear your mind a little bit. So I do. I wish singing, you know, better at the piano probably than, you know, where I am at it. What about you?
I mean, we talked about art yesterday. Art's definitely one for me as far as just like drawing, paint. I mean, from a little kid on, I just didn't like it. I hated it. Sculptures, any of that sort of stuff, I was just awful with. We're getting multiple texts, and I got to agree with this. Golf. A few times I've golfed, it has been rough.
From the 816, drink a beer every time someone texts in golf. You get the rest of the day off.
I didn't even see that. That's fantastic. That is so good.
We would be hammered by 7:57 if we were drinking a beer for every time somebody typed in golf.
Yeah, we're all bad at golf. Besides Dusty and a few others, we're all pretty bad. Okay, so
I love it. Drink a beer every time someone texts in golf.
That's so good. golf is the obvious answer here from the 816. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think the other answer for me would be learning languages. I don't know if I was actually terrible at that, but I didn't give it enough effort. And I don't think my brain works as easily that way with just learning different languages. But that's something, man, I wish I was bilingual at least. I wish I knew a few languages. That's something, when I have kids, I think I'll try and implement that early on.
We made our kids start taking Spanish at like 3 years old.
That's smart,
and,
man.
You know, and they're always like, oh, I don't want to be in Spanish anymore. And I'm like, okay, you're still taking it. You're still taking it. I resisted it as well. You know, when I was a kid, we didn't start taking Spanish till 7th or 8th grade. By then, it's too late. You know, you got to take these languages early. And so I think learning that foreign language is a good one. It can really open the door to the world. And I don't mean that as a pun or anything like that. There's so many different job opportunities you could have by being bilingual, you know, being able to communicate multiple languages. And, you know, I still go back to sitting at the University of Kansas when I was a junior in high school, and Dean Dana Liebengood told me, he goes, you need to take Spanish when you get back to New Jersey and enroll in your senior year. I'm like, no. He goes, you're going to be covering baseball. It's trending towards a lot of Latin American players in the game. And I'm like, oh, okay, this was 1994, maybe, 93. And he had seen that. Yeah, I mean, that's why you got to listen to the older people that have experienced these things. They know what they're talking about. So take Spanish, kids, or French, or learn that second language, man.
Seriously,
be fluent,
dude,
in that second language. Yes.
Drawing's a good one, too. 816, the answer is simple. It's sex.
Yeah.
I just want to win, Joe.
I'm pretty good at it. I don't need to get better.
816, I suck at the Rubik's Cube, but thankfully my 13-year-old son is teaching me.
Yeah.
That's from Nick. Way to go. Yeah, my brother's insanely good at the Rubik's Cube, like under 10 seconds.
Really?
It's crazy, dude. No, it's nuts. Yeah, it's nuts. Here we go.
I like this one who says, I wish I could speed read. I kind of like that too, from the 913. Yeah. I'd read a lot more books if I could speed read, you know?
I mean, I'm reading just a Bill Simmons book of basketball right now because, you know, I'm a dork, but I find myself having to reread a sentence like 7 times just because my ADD or ADHD is just like, is what it is, right?
Yeah, right.
And I'm like, damn it, I only got done with 5 pages or whatever it is when I should have read more. Drinking in moderation from the 816.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Friday.
That's
right. Not time for that.
From the 816, parenting for sure. Yeah, you never think you're doing a good enough job as a parent. I question it every day that I drive to work. Am I being a good dad? Every day you wonder if you're being a good parent. And, you know, if your kids are there and they love you and they're, you know, good citizens and whatnot, you're doing a good job, man. You know you're doing a good job when you hear from other adults that your kid's good. Like I talked about, my daughter's boss sending me a text yesterday about how great she was. I'm like, thank God.
Must have felt good.
It did.
Yeah. Like, okay, I'm doing something right.
Yeah. Because I'm like, I don't experience this at home, but whatever. At least she's good at her job.
913, I'd love to be able to focus. The 816 says, I wish I was better at first-person shooter games. Yes. Yeah. I'm terrible. I wish my memory was actually useful.
Yeah. All the stuff you remember that means
100%.
Nothing.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
That's why I'm thankful I have this job, because my memory is pretty much only good in the sports world, as Hannah could attest to.
I do like this from the 816. I wish I was a better movie watcher. I'm with you.
Oh, there you go.
I'm a terrible movie watcher, terrible show watcher. Just not my thing.
Kind of that attention span.
Yeah.
913, only good parents ask themselves that, Bob. You're a good one.
Well, I appreciate that.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's probably partly true, too.
Yeah. From the 816, working on cars.
Oh, man, great one.
It's a great one, but they've made cars so damn hard to work on today. You know, like you can't even replace your own battery anymore.
Nope. Sucks.
Yeah, it's under the seat in the back. What?
What?
All right. Whatever. So that's our out of left field question, something you're terrible at, but wish you could do well. You can continue to weigh in on the Jay's Southland Tow Service text line. Coming up here on 96.5 The Fan, Little League is trying to steal the joy from kids. We'll tell you why next.
Hey, it's Matt Quatrero, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.